Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, Bill, we are staying out of the mall this weekend
because yes.
I don't do the Black Friday thing.
No.
And I usually try to avoid any major shopping excursions on Thanksgiving weekend to begin with. So I just try to keep my sanity.
Well, that's probably a good plan. The malls, I've noticed, are even busy for the last couple of weeks. So I think people are properly spending their money.
That's right. And speaking of spending money, I think a lot of people who may be going out this weekend or even in the coming weeks are going to find a lot of great holiday plants available for gift giving. I've already seen the huge tents that come out after Thanksgiving for Christmas trees. And so there's, of course, living Christmas trees that are available and cut Christmas trees, the ones that there's no way they're going to live if you put them in the ground, no matter how much TLC you give them.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the living Christmas trees. Those usually, if you get them now, you really have to keep a watchful eye on them to make sure they don't dry out on you by Christmas Day.
Well, you do, and because it is a living tree, I think the whole idea is to buy the tree in a healthy way, keep it healthy, and then plant it. So you really got to watch it. And those kind of containers, depending on the material in them, they do tend to dry out more quickly. So you've really got to watch them very, very closely. And the people that sell them usually provide some good instructions on how to take care of them and then put them in the ground after the season.
What are some good trees that would make great living Christmas trees that you could eventually put into your landscape? Afghan pines would be pretty popular.
They sell them under different names when they're a Christmas tree. I don't know that they actually sell them in that form, but any one of the nurseries that do handle those, I'm sure they've brought in the right varieties. I don't think I've seen noble firs and other things like that, but just the typical Afghan looking tree is. They're Douglas firs. I don't think they do real well in our area. But if they do sell them in the nurseries, I think they are appropriate for our area. And I've known people that have done them, even buying a miniature tree, just a 1 or 2 foot tree that you may decorate. We planted one at the Burgess house a couple of years ago, and it was amazing. It's triple its size, and it got pine cones on it already.
Wow.
So it is very possible to do that, and I recommend it because you're not cutting additional trees down, although the new Christmas tree farms really do a good job of shaping the trees. They're very attractive, but you might pay two or three times as much for a tree, but then it becomes permanent in your yard, and I think that's a great idea.
Well, cut trees, on the other hand, they've been cut down at a particular point in their lives, and those require some care as well. You are going to have to make sure that you keep the bottom, I believe, moist,
right,
because that cut part is still going to be absorbing moisture.
They do last a lot longer. I don't know. Well, once they've been cut, if they don't get any water, I think they die after two or 3 weeks. And I don't know how far ahead these trees are cut, but I think they are cut 2 months in advance. So it's very important to keep your tree moist, and it will continue to take it up. Once it stops taking it up, you know it's destined to die, but we keep water on ours for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and it lasts real well. So it's
and the good thing about those cut trees is if you don't go overboard as far as decorating them, you know, like with tinsel and everything, so that's hard to take off afterwards, they eventually turn themselves into mulch. The city has a great mulching program after Christmas for everybody who does have a cut Christmas tree they're willing to discard.
Right. I don't know if they pick them up anymore, but if you deliver them to the sites, they will mulch them, and you can go back and get as much mulch as you like. It's good mulch, too. So that's another appreciate you bringing that up, because I think that's another good program that the city provides. Another option for people is a Norfolk pine, which is you buy it. It's a smaller indoor plant primarily, although they do well outside in the summertime. It's a beautiful tree, and it lends itself toward accepting a few small lights and bulbs on it for the season.
And to me, it's not necessarily a pine tree. When you see the image of a pine tree, you think of these great big, you know, evergreens in the forest.
Yes.
And these are more prehistoric looking, I think. They're really pretty plants. And those Norfolk pines, those are not plants that you want to put outdoors. As you were mentioning, they are indoor plants.
They're definitely an indoor plant.
They're from tropical regions,
yeah, they're from South America, I think, primarily, but they are very sensitive to lower temperatures, and they actually will melt even in our hot summer if they're in the direct sun, so they need some kind of protection. But I've seen them outside, and people do bring them in the wintertime, and it's a great option.
That's one of my favorites. And there's another one that's a great holiday gift as well. It's a Christmas cactus, and you were telling me, Bill, that you don't have a whole lot of experience with the Christmas cactus. We talked about the Christmas cactus a few weeks ago on this program about trying to force blooms on them. I've got two Christmas cactus plants. One was a Christmas gift for me from last year, and that one kind of looks exactly the same than it did 11 months ago. There's no change on it. At least it's not dead. So, but one that I've had for several years now, that one's already getting ready to bloom, and I don't put them in closets or anything to force their bloom. And that little ancient Christmas cactus is just ready to pop back out with flowers.
Well, and those, it's another good plant, a little transition into propagation, but those are fairly easy to propagate too. So you could clip a couple of leaves off and keep them real moist, but stick them in some dirt, maybe some rooting hormone, and you could have a number of new plants a year from now.
You were mentioning that there are a few plants that are from the succulent family that can do really, really well. And some of them just propagate so easily.
They really do. And the first one that comes to mind is ice plant. I'd say 95% of the ice plants were killed the last cold spell in February that we had. But those lend themselves very, very well. They actually enjoy the winter. You could propagate them even now if you had some. Some other plants that I like that you can't do it outside this time of year. You'd have to do it inside are hearts and flowers and sedum. A couple of other options, just clip off some portion of the plant and make them relatively small and stick them in the ground, keep them well watered, and they should root for you. I think it's a great way of expanding your garden a little bit, and otherwise you have to buy new plants next year, and that's expensive.
Yeah, it can be. And of course, if you have any questions about propagation or about how to care for a living Christmas tree or a Christmas cactus, master gardeners are always available to answer your questions. Now, another thing that we probably should do before our trees go completely dormant and we don't know which are diseased limbs and which are not, are to mark those dead limbs on your trees if they haven't already lost their leaves and get rid of them as soon as you can.
That's really a good idea. We've gotten some calls, people wondering what to do. They can already tell that those branches have died and they're wondering what to do. And I think your idea of marking them now, you may not want to cut them or prune them now, but if you mark them so that you know that they are dead, you can do a great job of pruning in the January-February time frame, which is the ideal time to majority of the pruning. I suggest that people don't cut back too harshly on trees, just kind of shape them and remove the dead and dying and any crossing branches that are causing some problems. But it really is a good time to mark. I've seen a lot of ash trees around town that got some dead branches, or at least the ends of some of the branches have died. Oak trees have got some die back, and I think this is all a result of the cold spell from last year. And then, of course, the mulberries, same kind of thing. The entire branch, or even at least the end of the branch, is showing that it's dead.
And I know we've received so many calls when we've had live shows from people who have a partially dead or partially alive plant, depending on, you know, their glass half empty or full perspective, that are curious as to whether they should just cut off all the dead growth and sort of leave a funky looking tree for now. And if you really want to save your plant, and it's going to look kind of weird for a while, it maybe in future years it may sort of resume a more normal shape, but yeah, definitely do that, because it's going to cost a lot of money to buy a replacement tree, as we were mentioning earlier. And also, I know a lot of these people who have dead limbs in their trees, some of those limbs are large or they may be out of reach for their conventional pruning tools. That's when it would be a good idea to call a professional to come in. And if you do have a professional come in, make sure that you supervise what it is they're doing, because they could just very well top your entire tree.
you need to have a conversation with the person performing the maintenance on the tree to know how, try to find out exactly how much they know what their plan is, because once it's done, it's too late. So have the conversation ahead of time and tell them you do not want it topped. Thin it and prune it, but don't top it. And the tendency for a lot of these fellows is to do that, and mm-hmm. then it's too late. So you started talking about trees that have grown partially dead, partially alive, coming back from their root. Pittosporum is a good example of that. I know we've talked about it in the past, but a lot of the Pittosporum entirely died, and you've got new growth coming from the base. So it's going to be ugly for a while, but go ahead and take off whatever's dead and see what the new growth looks like, and you can shape it accordingly. If it's a nice shape, just leave it naturally. But if it's an awkward shape, you can always do some pruning to shape it for future years.
And, you know, I'm still seeing people taking out their dead palm trees, people right. who have, I guess, waited and been patient. I've seen somebody in my neighborhood just earlier this week with some workers out there just hacking at that poor mm-hmm. dead palm tree, and it was a pretty good size too.
Well, and in my neighborhood, I saw somebody taking down an old stump of a tree. It's a real problem mm-hmm. to remove stumps of trees. It's a lot of work. This fellow was working in my neighborhood. He worked all day long, and it looked like he's about a third done. So it can be fairly costly if you have to pay somebody to do that. And it's got sidewalks to deal with. It has walls to deal with. So you've got to really be pretty careful. You might suggest that you hire a professional for something like that.
You know, speaking of palms, it reminds me of something that our old host, Daphne Richards, used to bring up. Normally we think about pruning trees in the winter. But if you have palm trees, I think you're going to have to sort of reverse your way of thinking. You don't want to take off the dead palm leaves if you, of course, have a surviving palm tree. You don't want to take off the dead leaves because that's going to serve sort of as an insulation to that new growth that's coming from the center of your palm. And those new fronds that are coming out of the center, they're very sensitive. And I'm sure a lot of people were witness to that when we did get our February freeze.
Right.
So it might just be one more layer of protection in case we do get another freeze like we did in February.
Yeah, there's no way of telling what kind of winter we're going to have, but that is the professionals, the people that are really in the know, really suggest that you leave at least one or two layers of the old fronds on the palm trees. In my personal situation, it didn't help. I still lost mm-hmm. my palm tree, but it does give them an advantage if it does get cold again. And that's one of the few things we can do to protect a palm tree.
Well, again, if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners regarding care of your holiday plant, we didn't even talk about poinsettias, but
no.
Of course those don't want to go outdoors either.
And, no, they're very sensitive.
And there's so many varieties. I saw some yellow. I think I saw some maroon poinsettias.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some really interesting holiday plants.
It'll
but
be
if
fun.
You have any questions about the care of these or anything else that may be happening in your garden or with your indoor plants, call the Master Gardeners on their hotline. That's 566-1276, 566-1276. An email link is also available to the Master Gardeners. We have it on ktep.org. It's on the Good to Grow page. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.